You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers. I am Chris Manning, your host from ForTheStore.com. And joining me after a great part one over on Locked On Lakers is Anthony Irwin from Locked On Lakers. Anthony, what's going on?
I'm hanging. I was fighting with, I think, half of your writing staff today. Not fighting, but having a back and forth about whether the Lakers should trade for Bradley Beal for a good chunk of my morning while I was writing the definitive column on the very topic. It wasn't definitive. It was a column that was written about the topic.
Definitive. You wrote it. It's definitive. yes or no, Bradley Beal trade. We'll kick it off there, and then we'll continue where we left off on part one in terms of the Cavs' readiness to be in this situation.
I say no. I really like, so it's not a just flat out no, because Bradley Beal would solve a lot of the issues that the Lakers have right now. They need a second best player who can also create his own shot. Right now they're trying to make that Brandon Ingram, but he just isn't that, and when he creates his own shot, it tends to be from the mid-range, contested, falling back, and that's not really good for anybody. But for the Lakers, though, where they currently are, they have their sights set on Kevin Durant. And if you trade for Bradley Beal, as good of a player as he would be, and as many of the flaws that he would fix across this Lakers roster, that opportunity cost of now not being able to even pitch Kevin Durant in a meeting, given how upset he very obviously is in Golden State, I just don't think it's worth that opportunity cost.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. So where the Cavs are, just to give everyone a reminder, is that basically this roster is the roster that LeBron left. It adds Colin Sexton. It adds David Nwaba, a former Laker, if I'm not mistaken. It adds Channing Frye, also a former Laker and a former Cavalier.
Laker, great.
Yeah, look, he's an icon wherever he goes. Like, that man.
He really is.
Perfect. It has, obviously, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, re-signed Kevin Love to this big contract. They're really bad. We're recording this after the Cavs lost to the Pistons and, like, just a utterly atrocious team, right? And Kevin Love's out right now. Like, I mean, they have Sam Decker and he's out. Like, they have, like, no wings right now. It's bad. I'm just going to, like, say this. I said this on the recap pod for that game. But the Cavs shot 52% of their shots against the Pistons in the mid-range at a 39% clip. That is 4% more than the combined total of their shots percentages of their frequency at the rim and from three. This is an archaic team. They're super goofy. They fired their head coach like a few games into the season after he didn't want to play vets, after he forced vets back into the team, after like the front office was like, nah. I will say there's like two things about this. Number one, I don't think anyone can be ever ready to lose LeBron. I think it sucks no matter what. I think it's just like there's a vacuum there. Number two,
very fair.
They, like, tried to play the long game with this as best they could, but, like, when your best young guy that you have on your roster is, like, the eighth pick in the draft, or Jetty Osman, like, I love those guys. I think Jetty in particular is a really interesting player. Like, that just doesn't set you up to be, like, good right away. And, like, when Kevin Love gets hurt and was hurt when he started the year and all this stuff, like, there was just no, I don't think, even if they were selling it that way, I don't think there was any way that realistically they could probably be good this year. And, like, this result is, like, not surprising to me. Although it's better than last time he left, it's still pretty bad.
I was always thrown off by the thought that the Cavs should be good right away. Like, I get it. There's the spite thing of, you know, we didn't need LeBron, but we can still, he wasn't our entire organization. He was, he's the Lakers entire organization right now. He's every entire organization he's going to go to. It's just a matter of, did you learn enough while he was a Cleveland Cavalier to be able to set yourself up, not for the immediate future right after LeBron leaves, but for the foreseeable future after he leaves? Can you get some kind of sustainable, can you understand how to build sustainable success without him in town? I don't understand, or I never really understood this idea that, oh yeah, we're going to be competitive. Unless you were just trying to sell tickets, which, you know, it's important. It pays the bills, but unless you were trying to sell tickets, you should hope for a Zion Williamson in the draft. You should hope for as bad a team as you can field this year. And here's the thing about bad teams. If they're comically bad, if you have zero expectations for them, it's like LeBron's defense in the regular season. If you have zero expectations, you can't be let down. You can just laugh when he tries to kick De'Aaron Fox. You can just laugh when Jordan Clarkson is shooting his 37th pull-up jumper off of the pick and roll when your roll man is rolling to the basket.
I'm exhausted by Jordan Clarkson. We're going to talk about him later, but like, I'm exhausted by Jordan Clarkson.
I think the expectation of competition this year, just it doesn't do anybody any good. It obviously didn't do Ty Lue any good, seeing as he lost his job over it. But if they fired him, though, because he was short-sighted with his rotations, I wish the Lakers would have done that with Byron Scott like every other night. So at least that's a directioned move.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's rough. They're just in a weird spot, but let's look at this game. I don't care about the X's and O's of this game, frankly.
No. Yeah.
That is not the interesting part of this game. What is interesting is that LeBron is playing in Cleveland for the first time since he left. He has not spoken, I think, at length about it. There has been the interview with Joe Vardon that we talked about in part one that is kind of out there right now that he was kind of playing it off and said, like, I don't think it'll be the last time, which I think, let's, like, please not, like the city of Cleveland, like, please do not do what you did last time. That was disgusting. Just awful treatment of another human being, even if he left your team. Whatever. Just, you don't treat other people like that. Just gross. But I am, like, not quite sure what to expect. Number one, I expect it to be, like, a very full crowd. I expect it to be a sellout. I've been – someone I talked to in the game ops department said they're describing it as their Super Bowl. I don't know if they're doing a tribute video. Like, I just expect it to, like, be a lot. That being said, I expect it to also be a little weird. The game is just going to – like, I don't even know what to expect out of the game. I expect the Lakers probably win by a lot. I expect LeBron to play really well. I just expect it to be, like, a weird vibe, and I expect, like, a lot of just, like, positive memories, but also just, like, this is, like, exes that have, like, that are running into each other at, like, a bar and are, like, kind of, like, happy to see each other and, like, are friendly about it, but also just, like, if we could just, like, not do this again for a while, that would be great. Like, that's, like, the general vibe I'm expecting out of this game.
Tremendous analogy. That was amazing.
Yeah. Like, LeBron's definitely the one, like, doing better after this too, but like
they like walk you walk in and you see them, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, like,
all right, don't look that way.
The Cavs are like at the bar, like eating like a lukewarm hot dog and like some fries and like a warm Miller Lite, and LeBron's like coming in like a nice suit, like, yeah, looking really good, and like, you know, orders like a nice for him and his new girl, and like orders like a nice like bottle of like Dom or something, and it's like, yeah, like I'm doing good, like, hope you're doing okay, pats him on the back, walks away. Like, that's where we're at. But like, what are you expecting out of this game? Like, what is the your expectation for like what this game will, how LeBron will react to it, how the Lakers as a team will react to it, and just what are you looking forward to as someone who's going to watch this from afar?
So I am similarly befuddled by this one. On one hand, I would think that LeBron wouldn't want to go out and just completely demolish the team, because the ending on this one is exponentially more amicable than the first time around, obviously. But that said, like the ending was pretty amicable in Miami. Well, no, it really wasn't. But LeBron goes out and not only drops 51 on Miami, but was taunting their bench throughout the game. He was laughing at their bench for the entirety of the time that he scored 51 points on like 30 field goal attempts. And so maybe I don't think we're going to get 50 points again from him, but I also don't think he's going to run up the score per se. Like, I don't think he's, if we're going to continue the analogy of the bar scene that, you know, running into your ex at a bar kind of thing. Like, I don't think he's going to go out there and flash Lonzo Ball or Kyle Kuzma at him. if they're like the new significant other.
I think it would be like more interesting or like more weird for this game if like he did have like if Kawhi or someone was already on this team. Like that would be like that would be tough. If like Paul George had come this summer, like that would be like a tough, I think, build as well, because it's a little different. I think it's less so. It's also just like a part of like a really tough stretch for the Cavs. Like they're just going to lose a lot at home to good teams. Like Houston comes through, Toronto comes through, Golden State comes through. Like it's going to be like a rough couple weeks. And LeBron is like the kickstart of that. We're going to
You got really unlucky too, that you're playing Houston after they released Melo. They parted ways with Melo.
Like, come on. Like,
that's just bad luck.
Yeah, like, I mean, helps the tanking at least, so that's a positive. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk more just kind of about what we're expecting from this game. But stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers. And we're back. So LeBron is going to be, well, he's going to handle this fine. But I'm curious, how do you think the guys that are going to be in the type of environment like this for the first time, the Lonzos, the Kuzmas, the Ingrams, what are you expecting them to kind of be like in this type of environment? It'll be like, this is just something you can only experience when you play with LeBron, and they're very young in their careers, obviously, but what are you expecting to kind of for them to, how do they'll react to, and just what do you think they may learn from it?
One thing I'm really interested to see is how Colin Sexton reacts, because if he tries to make it like a mano a mano here, I'm the new guy and I'm going to try to show you guys that we still have a future beyond LeBron. Lonzo is really good defensively. And if he kind of matches that challenge, like how Lonzo reacts to Colin Sexton's reaction, that to me will say quite a bit about the way the game's going to go in its entirety. If Lonzo reacts well and just puts the clamps down, then, you know, the game could border on embarrassing. But that said, one, Lonzo has never really shown a proclivity for caring about like the game within the game. When people have kind of tried to go at him, he just kind of rolls his eyes and goes about the rest of his game. And two, Lonzo has been kind of hesitant to put his mark consistently on this season. And it would be cool if this was the time that he kind of said, all right, now I'm going to be Lonzo Ball. But I just don't really see that happening. So Lonzo's the guy to watch, I think, for the guys beyond LeBron. Kyle Kuzma, I could see him trying to do too much, because he's been doing that all season anyway. He's been kind of a disappointment this year. The guy who I think might give Cleveland some problems is Josh Hart. He's been shooting the ball really well. He played significantly better defense in Miami than he played in Orlando, and maybe he figured some stuff out there in that respect as well. So, you know, if you're looking for a guy who might be like the X factor or the guy who might just have a bigger impact than you would think of the kids, it's Josh Hart. And then the other thing too is like JaVale McGee is going to be trying to dunk everything that he can get his hands on. He's going to be trying to dunk on literally everybody. And that'll be fun to watch in and of its own. But I don't know, man. Like it's a weird. We were talking about this. It kind of makes sense that it's just kind of on a random Wednesday night in November. That you know, the league and ESPN is trying to, you know, do the they're playing commercials for it specifically for it and especially for it because that's their job. But it kind of makes sense that everybody's just kind of, well, whatever. It's another game. I think that's the right approach for everybody involved.
One note about Josh Hart. He was the guy that the Colin Sexton Young Bulls challenged. When Colin Sexton got down in that stance, he was guarding Josh Hart, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of a fun little thing. Sexton,
that was after he was doing the Young Bull thing after I think Josh Hart had like 35 on him that game.
Look, just let Colin Sexton be. Let him flex. I'm like very curious to see how LeBron like interacts with a lot of people in this too, because like it sort of sucks like that, like it is, I am glad that it's like at this point in the season, like I'm just glad I get to move on from this, and like just it'll always be like special when LeBron plays the Cavs, like there'll always be something there, and it'll be like interesting when they go to LA, but like to get this out of the way for me is just good, because I can like move past that storyline as much as you can move ever past LeBron. It sucks that like Kevin Love isn't healthy though. Like, that kind of sucks. Because it would be cool to, like, just have that moment of, like, them, like, interacting on the court. And, like, I'm sure they will talk. I'm sure, like, you know, like, LeBron and him will, like, meet up somewhere. But, like, it does sort of suck that, like, Kevin's not going to be healthy enough to, like, play in that game.
I really want to see LeBron guarded by J.R. Smith.
Look, he's going to be guarded by Jetty for, like, a large part in this game, who is, like, the random dude in an Instagram photo you saw this summer of, like, LeBron working out with Kawhi and KD for, like, the
I
Lakers.
I like Jetty.
I love Jetty. My poor sweet Turkish son is going to get, like, murdered in this game. It's not going to be good. Well, like, it's going to be rough.
I could see. Well, Lonzo Ball has been just, like, running around setting screens. I called him a Roomba, basically, because he just, like, runs around offensively and just tries to run in everything that he possibly can. But I really think whoever J.R. Smith is guarding, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, this is now that I'm thinking a little bit more about the game, this is the thing that I'm kind of looking forward to the most is if J.R. Smith is guarding, like, Josh Hart goes over and sets a screen on Chetty so that LeBron can have, like, 13 straight ISO possessions against J.R. Smith just for that one game. And honestly, J.R. Smith kind of sort of deserves it because he robbed a lot of us of a final series that I think would have been a lot more interesting than the way it turned out.
Yeah, that I created a great meme, so I think everyone wins because we got a great meme out of it. Go ahead.
Could you imagine if they just recreate them?
I hope they Amazing. Do. I just give me something. Great. I need something viral out of this game. I'm very excited in Arena to, like, be there because I just want to see, like, what the mood is like, and I feel like you get such a good actual bit of it, like, in the arena. It was crazy when he came back for the first, like, I've seen, like, the video of the when he returned with the Heat, but, like, when his first came back was just incredible. Just so Cavs fans know, and then we're gonna end this segment, but what kind of Lakers team are the Cavs actually going to be going up against? Like, just like what are they actually going to be seeing on Wednesday?
Well, if the Lakers are playing well, they get out and they run like crazy. And they get out, they don't get out and run, you know, like 2-on-1 fast breaks or one guy leaks out and tries to create something on his own.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, are you there?
Yep. All right. Yeah, I think my connection cut off there for a second.
Yeah, no problem. I'll just count you off again when it comes. Yeah, you're there, so I'll count you off.
All right.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
So they're gonna be facing a team that wants to get out and run. And not only do they try to get out and run, but Luke Walton refers to it as getting out and running in waves, where they have four guys coming at you in transition as often as they possibly can. And when they're playing as well as they can, and I would imagine LeBron wants them to play as well as they can, and take care of business in this one, it's pretty daunting. It looks really good when they're getting out and running. And the other thing too is that the Lakers are climbing right now in terms of defensive efficiency, and that enables them to get out and run. So that if the Lakers really want or are really focused, or if LeBron really has the Lakers focused, or I guess. I have to play along here and say if Luke Walton has the Lakers focused, then they're going to try to get as many stops early and just come at the Cavs in waves and try to build a lead early and not squander it with the weird lineups that Luke tries to throw out there when they build a lead.
We're going to take one last break, and then we're going to come back, and Anthony is going to get to ask me about Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson. He's going to ask me some rapid-fire questions about two guys that, they're something, but we're going to talk more about them right after this. And we are back. All right, Anthony, I'm going to let you take over here. I'm going to give you, like, 8 minutes here. Let's fit in, let's start with Jordan Clarkson, because I think he's funnier, and then we'll go to Larry Nance, but let's just fire off questions you want to know about these two guys.
All right, so my first question about Jordan Clarkson is, I watched him the other night, and he's tatted the hell up. What happened?
There's a really good story about this, actually. So Joe Vardon, who I've mentioned twice already. Joe Vardon, like, give me a cut of your athletic money. Like, that would be great. But he wrote a story about this, and it's like LeBron's tattoo artist, actually.
Oh.
But he had like a, he got like a lot of personal tats. And like I'll put the link in the show notes for people listening to this podcast. That story will be in there. But he got like the tile, the he has a tile that the tattoo on his left shoulder is like the childhood face of his younger brother whose name is Bear. He has like he has tattoos like that aren't getting finished yet. There's one that's like an in loving memory thing of one of his best friends, named Cameron Moore, who died in a on the court in 2016 playing in Eastern Europe. But it is, I believe, from my understanding, like LeBron's tattoo artist that kind of recommended him. Like, so it's
Was that
just, but he just, so yeah, he's super tatted up now.
was it like a wink wink thing? Like, all right, Jordan, you helped me go to LA. You helped them clear enough salary moving forward to be able to get me another guy. Here's my tattoo artist. Have at it. Was it a wink wink thing, or was it just a happy coincidence?
I don't know. And LeBron also got him into The Alchemist. So, like
Huh.
that's where we're at. Jordan Clarkson, noted philosopher now.
I want to stay here on the Jordan Clarkson thing. How do you like the way he handles pick and rolls?
Drives me crazy. I will say this. Here's a great J.R. Smith quote to describe Jordan Clarkson. Quote, "He's at the top. He's swaggy all day. I'll tell you. He comes to practice with Louis Vuitton flip-flops on, all kinds of stuff. He's got more Supreme gear than I do." His fits have been incredible. Like, that's the nicest thing I can say about him. And like, he actually had a couple games where he was like kind of efficient and like moving the ball and stuff. But like, he just is a heat-seeking missile for the mid-range. Like, that is just what he does. And like, I would be more tolerable of him and sort of like would be good with what has been working with him if he wasn't playing so much with Colin Sexton. Because like when he's played with Colin
That hurts.
Sexton, they're like negative 22 points per 100 possessions when they've shared the floor. And it just
Yeah,
like
that sounds about right.
it just ruins what Sexton is supposed to be good at and what he needs reps doing. Like otherwise he's been fine, and like at least they do need someone that can just create shots. But like he is like sort of, I think, sort of a guy on this team that is like fine, because like obviously he, I don't know if he's at whatever help a contender. I think like the jury is, the data tells us, and like his track record tells us that's probably not gonna, he's probably not gonna help a really good team. But like he's kind of like a guy that at least on a bad team, at least you have someone that can create their own shot. Like he's kind of the perfect like tanking guy. But he's actually had some good moments. I can't like totally besmirch him, but like it's the
I
Jordan Clarkson
actually
experience,
to be
it's
absolute
very tiring.
to be absolutely clear, I actually kind of sort of liked Jordan Clarkson early on in his career. And I think one thing that the Lakers have kind of a track record with at this point is that they hand way too much of the development of players off to the player, and they just say, yep, you go and all of your improvement is on you. And they don't really give them any guidance as to like what they should be specifically developing for the context of a team. And I think that really hurt Jordan Clarkson, because he's a talented enough guy that he can get good individually and look like a very good individual player, but the strides that he took forward never really fit into the context of a good team. I actually think his eventual the way I think his career is going to play out, if it actually plays out in a positive way, is as like he'll reach just past his prime and he'll play for a good team, and people will be like, oh, right, that's right. He can actually go out and get a shot, and he'll play 10, 12 minutes a game and just go out, be told, and go out and get your own shot for those 10 or 12 minutes and then call it a night. And I think that's the way things are actually going to go. Last question for him. Last year it was driving me insane watching the way he was put into pick and roll situations, and I've watched a few of the Cavs games this year because I still do like him and Larry Nance Jr.'s players. Not well, Larry Nance a little bit more, but last year it was driving me insane that they kept on having him do pick and rolls to his left hand, and that's a disaster. But when he goes to his right, it's a little bit more. So have they made a more concerted effort to get him to that way, or is it just totally anecdotal on my part that I've noticed
He's doing whatever he wants to do.
that?
That's
Perfect
that.
answer.
Like Jordan Clarkson is like doing Jordan Clarkson. Like I think of the gif of him like when he was with the Lakers where he did like that strut where he was like pulling his hands back and forth like chugging
Yeah.
along. Like that is what he has been. So I still think they overpaid. To I know why they did it, but like the first round pick for him is still tough. But I get why they did it. And like I got them Nance, who's gonna sell them a lot of jerseys in. But yeah, it is always Jordan Clarkson time this year, basically. Like the last time I checked, he had the highest usage percentage on the team by like 5 points. So like that's where we're at with Jordan Clarkson.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do for those top five picks.
If you get some Zion, like all is forgiven, basically.
Larry Nance Jr., I would imagine is super popular out there. For reasons like having to do with his dad and like his playing style and all that stuff. But how do you feel about the extension? The extension to me, I didn't quite get at the time.
I don't feel badly about the extension. I think the money makes sense for the Cavs because it's decreasing in value. So like they'll have a little bit more money at the end of it, which they did with Kevin Love too. I think it makes sense for him because I think he's like the one guy where it's like if you got to tell him like what NBA city he was going to go to, he'd like pick Cleveland over anywhere else. Like he's like a unicorn in that regard. That being said, I think his play this year has not exactly made me feel great about it. Like Tristan Thompson has been like much better than him. Tristan's been like really, really good. That's like a weird thing this year, but like Nance has not been. And a big part of that, he's just not shooting the 2-point shots well. Like he actually has hit 2 threes, which I know when we talked last year was like a thing that he said he was going to do, but like never did. And he's hit a couple this year. But this year, after he shot 60% 2-point shots with the Lakers before getting traded last year, and then he was down to 57.2 with the Cavs in the regular season, he's at 48.6 on 2-point shots right now. And it was even lower than that like a week ago. So like he's just missing a lot of shots inside that he should be making. The 3-point shot thing's not real. Like the expanding his game thing, he kind of indicated wasn't real. So, and like he's just, again, Tristan's been a lot better. And you would have hoped, I think, this year that Nance would have gotten better than Tristan and like surpassed him as the team's like number one center option next to Kevin Love. But that hasn't happened. I think he's been better of late. I think he's looked a little bit better. He played really bad against Blake Griffin, but Blake Griffin's really good. The 2-point shot thing is just like the biggest problem for me because like the other stuff I think he's been fine at. Defensively, I think he's been pretty decent. Rebounding, he's been okay. He's missed so many shots that he should be making. Had a little ankle injury that maybe contributed to that. But like if Larry Nance is like not making shots at the rim, it's like what is Larry Nance if he's not just like finishing at a high clip in that regard? Like that's tough.
It's weird. Usually you think rhythm players are shooters and shooters only, but for somebody who he's a 2-footed jumper. He can actually jump off of either way, either 1 foot or 2 feet. But I think he prefers to jump off of two. And I think missing any time whatsoever, especially with an ankle thing as a jumper, like that's going to throw off his game. I think the 2-point shots will come around. I feel more confident about the 2-point shots coming around than him continuing to hit 3-pointers. He doesn't have the right form for a 3-point shot. It's kind of a catapult.
He has made them though. I will say like I would recommend honestly going and watching the threes he's made like on the NBA stats page because they don't look terrible. Mm-hmm. And I've been meaning to ask him about this, but they haven't been home recently. But I almost wonder if it's like a Derek Favors like situation where it like might take a year. And like if there is anyone that is going to help him do this, it is Channing Frye.
Yeah. They have very different shot forms.
I'm also very skeptical that this will ever happen. Like I think it's like a 2% chance like it ever happens. Like, but I think if it is going to happen, like I don't think it's something you realize until next year. We're like, whoa, Larry Nance can shoot threes now. But yeah, like you're right. Channing also does have like a much like cleaner stroke too. So.
Yeah. Last thing that I have to ask you about is how much fun have you had with David Nwaba? He's a delight to watch.
Played David Nwaba all of the minutes and like yeah. I'm already at the point where like he's only played in like 3 games basically because of like they were playing Sam Decker ahead of him for some reason. And yeah. I would have rather signed him to like a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
Like he's good. And I don't get why like a good team did not like look at him and like take the like I understand like the 3-point shot in this NBA is like a tough thing to swallow. That dude defends his ass off all the time.
Yep.
Rotates well everywhere. He actually drives to the rim decently well, even if it's like sort of like vanilla looking. He draws some fouls sometimes, but like defensively he's so smart. He rotates everywhere perfectly. He's got really good hand control. he like
he's is really strong.
He's very, very strong. Like, they had him guarding Blake Griffin, and like it wasn't like he was getting like bowled over like other guards would in that situation. Like, he was not doing well because he's 6 inches shorter than Blake Griffin, but like he wasn't completely strength wise like out of that matchup. I don't know why like a good team doesn't sign that guy. And if I was the Cavs, and like, you could have, like, maybe he wanted to get on the market next summer, and like maybe that's part of it too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't, like, the guy is not, he's not old by any means. Like, he's, you could still, like, he just is productive and is good at something that is, like, really valuable still. I can't imagine, like, why, like, a 3-year deal for that guy does make sense. And I don't know why, like, someone like Houston or the Lakers or, like, Golden State or, like, someone, like, really good, like, didn't take that guy, because that kind of guy is even more valuable. Like, if he's doing stuff that, like, I notice for the freaking Cavaliers this year, that is, like, really smart and useful. Like, if he's on a team that's actually good, I feel like that's even more valuable. And it's just weird to me that, like, that kind of guy isn't on, like, a good team. I love David Nwaba. I'm, like, 3 games in, again, of him actually playing minutes, and I'm just, like, play this guy all the minutes. I just want to watch him rotate in defense and, like, just watch him do that for, like, 30 minutes a game. That's cool with me.
You know which team he would be absolutely perfect on? Portland. If he was on Portland and he could play alongside either CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard and just take the other, like, for matchup they want to throw him on and just defend and just tell him, hey, go out there and defend. We'll space the floor and make it so that you don't have as negative an impact on offense as you might elsewhere. Like, that to me, especially for a team as cap strapped as Portland was, that felt like the signing that should have happened this summer.
I 100% am on board with that. And if Portland wants to, like, trade CJ McCollum to the Cavs for David Nwaba and, like, Jordan Clarkson, like, I will negotiate that contract. I will negotiate that deal. Kobe Altman, you can find me at any Cavs game. Like, let's talk, my guy. Like, let's bring CJ home. Let's get just only Cavs players who, like, want to watch Browns games. And, like, I love David Nwaba, but, like, I can go to Portland if you give me CJ McCollum. But I love David Nwaba. I don't know if he's on the team, like, after this year, and, like, I think Nance is really the one guy that's the next Laker here that, like, is going to be in the team's future plans. Yeah. But, I mean, like, Jordan Clarkson's probably just going to, like, hit free agency after, like, shooting, like, 15 times a game next season. But, like, I mean, Jordan Clarkson's going to be like, you got Zion? Like, why did you get him? It's the Jordan Clarkson show. But, like, Nance is like kind of the guy that sticks just because, like, he does sell, like, a lot of jerseys. That is like a thing. And that's, like, that is also, like, cynically, that's also why I'm pretty sure they were, like, pretty happy to get him, because it was like, oh, okay, if LeBron leaves, like, we will have a guy that, like, we can, like, market pretty well. And, like, we will put on Fox Sports Ohio, like, every time after a game, because people, like, care about this local connection because people love it. Yeah. But David Nwaba, A+, A+, A+.
Yeah, I couldn't get enough of Nwaba when he was in L.A., and then he wound up being a cap casualty as the Lakers pursued Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which is a fun sentence to say.
Oh, man.
But hey, KCP helped the Lakers get LeBron. So, I mean, I don't know this for a fact. The Lakers may or may not have tampered by using KCP and his agent connection, but who knows?
Just shouts to Rich Paul, though, because, like, he got John Wall a trade kicker, and, like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a flex, Rich Paul.
A trade kicker that befuddles all of the cap, like, the capologists across the league. Like, just, these guys don't, it's a 15% trade kicker on, like, a, what is it, $47 million contract next year?
Yeah. It's a lot of money. It's, like, a lot of money. That's, like, not related to this all, but, like, John Wall is, like, getting paid no matter where he goes. Like, shouts to John Wall. I'm pretty ready for him to, like, play for the Suns and make just, like, a bajillion dollars for, like, no reason.
Yeah.
But, Anthony, thank you so much for listening. I'm glad we did this crossover. I am ready for Wednesday. I am, like, ready for that to be gone and done for my life. Are you feeling the same way? Are you feeling that same kind of just anticipation of moving on from this?
I mean, I don't mean to sound condescending or anything like this, but, like, I really thought LeBron left Cleveland, he got the city a title, going back to Cleveland after the way Dan Gilbert acted and some of the fans out there acted the first time he left, like, that to me, like, you wash your hands at that point. LeBron walks away, we being if I was from Cleveland, everybody walks away from it and say, that was fine. We all got what we needed out of that transaction. LeBron goes to LA, you move on. I really think that I'd be surprised if the vibe on Wednesday night would be anywhere near hostile in any way, shape, or form, either from LeBron to other guys or from people in Cleveland or anybody from the Cavs to LeBron. I'd be really surprised if anything like that happened.
Yeah, I would agree. And I just personally, like, I think it's a thing where it's just like everyone moves on from this, doesn't have to think about it again. We just get like it out of the way, because it is going to be something that is like a spectacle, even if it doesn't totally. Well, I mean, it needs to be, I guess. But like, if it doesn't need to be like insane. Like, there's a commercial for this on ESPN if you're watching Monday Night Football on the 19th. Like, it's going to be a thing. But you can find Anthony on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Listen to Locked On Lakers. Go give it another 5-star review to add to its massive total. And Anthony, thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Let's do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Like in January or after Jordan Clarkson comes home in 2 years when he's back in LA, just living his best life.
Jordan Clarkson reunion tour.
Oh, God. We need that in my life. 38-year-old Jordan Clarkson saving the Lakers. That's what I want in 25 or whenever he'll be old like that. That's what I really want in my life. God bless Jordan Clarkson. We'll talk to you tomorrow.